Pleasure and a privilege and honor to be here for sure, Maranatha, but also a chance to look at the Word of God and open up the Word of God. Let's read Psalm 11 and then we'll pray. Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy and grace and goodness to us, that we can have this opportunity and this time to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, yes, we've come aside, as it were, from the busyness of our day, work, all other family matters, and we've come, Lord, as it were, to meet with you. And we have the promise of your word that you will be with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for the righteousness of Christ. We thank you that we are in Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you are praying for us. Your grace never fails. Your prayers never fail. God, Holy Spirit, we do want to commune in fellowship with the triune God. So, Lord, help us now. Not only, I think, of Kathy as she works with the little ones, Brother Pastor Nathan as he works with the young people, for myself, Dr. Lucilius, others, Pastor Chuck. Lord, we do want to hear from you. And we have that promise. We want to see your glory, even as that verse says there. His countenance doth behold the upright. Lord, help us to hear your word this morning. Help us to take heed. And give us grace to obey. Lord, we are not strong. We are weak. But in you, Lord, we can do all things. So we ask for thy blessing. We ask that the Lord Jesus would be exalted. We ask, O Lord, that your people would be strengthened, encouraged, challenged. Thank you, Father, for the blessings and the promises of thy word. Bless now, we pray. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. The text that I wanted to look at this morning is verse 3. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we have to take a moment. If you have like a subtitle above Psalm 11, you'll see the Psalm of David, you know. And you kind of think of what David is doing for a minute, and you kind of get an idea of this psalm. Maybe he's running from his enemies. Maybe he's running from King Saul. Maybe he's running from Absalom. But see, or maybe David is in the palace. And he's serving the king. Remember that early years where he was a musician and he was serving faithfully. He was the armor bearer and all this stuff. Maybe he's watching King Saul. He's seeing the injustice. He's seeing the oppression. He's seeing the pride of King Saul. He's seeing the madness of King Saul. He says, this is Israel's first king, you know, the hope of Israel. Give us a king, give us a king. And God says, okay, I'll give you a king. I've been your king all along, but I'll give you a king. Saul was the, you know, higher than, you know, he was the prime person, as it were, to be a king. Israel's first king. He was the hope of glory or hope of Israel. What happened here, as we see in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe David was looking at this king and how he was failing, how he was forsaking God, not obeying the word of God. He saw all that Saul wanted in a matter of armament and horses and military and all the whole, what the king did. Okay, And I believe David was discouraged. See, look, if you look there, it says in verse 1, "In the Lord put I trust, how shall I say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow." The wicked bend. See, so David, we get the context here. But notice what the main verse is. It says, "What shall the righteous do?" Do you know this morning? Do we know? Really, do we comprehend? Now, I'm from Canada. I'm dual citizen. Okay, I've been in the U.S. You know, I'm born in the U.S. But in Canada, we're I don't know how many steps ahead of you in declension, apostasy, ungodliness, injustice, oppression. We're a socialist country. Okay. And we're not, let's say, as far as maybe Great Britain is. Okay, if you preach against homosexuality in Great Britain, for example, you're arrested on the spot. We're not that far yet, but we're much further than the U.S. We're much further. And so as we look at this verse, verse 3, do we see that the foundations before us are being destroyed? Yes, we talk about perilous times, we talk about perplexing times, problems without solution. Is that true? But see, there's another verse that comes to my mind, is that, you see, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, well, we know that verse, right? But what about verse 13? The Lord says, "If I shut up heavens, if I send the pestilence among, I send the locusts among the land, if I command," he said, "the pestilence upon my people." See, we're looking at the foundations and we're seeing that you know, is God for us? Is God against us? Well, we could say He's for the church for sure, but is He for the U.S.? Is He for the United States? Is He for the Western world? You know, it would be, you know, we could stand against the world, and if the world was our enemy, then we would have victory. But see, if God is against us, what was unto us? But do we have a confidence? Do we comprehend that these foundations are being destroyed right before our eyes? And I think many of God's people don't have a clue of what's going on. Okay, not only in the U.S., but let's say Canada, Great Britain, the Western world overall. Okay, the foundations are being destroyed. They're unaware, no discernment. They don't really care. We're too busy, okay? We're too busy enjoying ourselves and too busy, you know, in a sense, enjoying the land of Goshen. While day by day we cash in our talent of bricks, you know, working for the system, making a living, scratching out a living. But I think overall we're basically unaware that the foundations are being destroyed right in our very midst. And not only is that we're unaware or we're no discernment or we don't really care, but how many of God's people is actually thrown in the towel? Is it? You know, what's the use of trying? What's the use of trying? Our church building years ago was broken into. And some of the young people got in there and they just got the fire extinguishers and they just did a mess everywhere. And so the brethren years ago put bars on the windows. They're not unsightly, but it gives me a reminder, you know. Here we are, you know, should we be in our little church building with bars on the windows and bars on the doors and we're just huddling in the corner waiting for Jesus to come? We've given up. You see, the world and the homosexuals and the ungodly and the Darwinism and evolution, they're militant. But we're not. Why not? Stand up for Jesus, soldiers of the cross. Note the seriousness of this the psalmist here facing. He says, "If the foundations were being destroyed," it means being pulled down to break, overthrow, ruined. You see, such is happening in our world. See, we are a post-Christian West now. You know, we don't even talk. We can talk about atheism. Oh yeah, we're more paganism, barbarianism. We're post-Christian nation, Secular humanism is rampant. It's everywhere. I mean, you guys in the U.S. are fighting battles one foot at a time, in a sense. You know, whether you can have the Ten Commandments here or the Ten Commandments there, something, you know, things like that. Well, Canada has already lost that. Great Britain has already lost that. You know, secular humanism, injustice, oppression, greed, materialism, a sex-gone mad world. That's the world. But what about the church? What about the church? You see, this verse is very, you know, very, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So let's look at this for a minute. What do we mean by foundations? Well, it's very basic. Just the word basic. The basic, we could say the fundamentals. We could think for a minute of what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. You know, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We're talking about, you know, some of you guys are carpenters. One of my oldest sons is a carpenter. You know, and we just chuckle. You know, who builds a house without a foundation? I was saying that when I lived in Southern California, you could go and see those building, those houses they build up on the side of those hills, you know, when the muds come, and they just slide down. But we're talking about the basis. We're talking about the fundamentals. We're talking about building our house on the rock. But see, in this unawareness or undiscerningness that we have, or don't care, maybe, is that there's some foundations that need to fall. That need to fall. For example, why so many Christians are unaware, undiscerning, is they're trying to prop up these other foundations that need to fall. We're wasting our time. We're wasting our energy. We're wasting our money. We're wasting our manpower. And I'll give you a list of these that I think. First of all, some of these foundations that need to come down, first of all, is respectability. The church wants to be respected. It wants to be accepted. We want the world to like us. You know? You know, I like reading about creationism. Things like that. I have nothing wrong with creationism, studying that and stuff like that. But you see, I'm not going to prop up the Word of God with creationism, archaeology, or textual criticism. I don't need to prop the Word of God up. Amen. You know, you see, why do you believe in the Word of God? It's a work of grace. God, Holy Spirit, has enabled you to believe that this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is the inerrant. God has preserved it. So, you see, we want to be acceptable by the world. If they like us, they'll like our Jesus. If we're, you know, we don't want to look like ignorant people, unscientific. Give me a PhD, THD. I don't mind. I like those. I like, you know, I've always... appreciate Georgia Baptist College. I think, you know, all the men that I studied have those little things at the end of their names, okay? We need more of them, okay? But if we have those just to impress the world or try to, that's what the fundamentalists did way back in the early 1900s, you know, the neo-evangelicalism. You know, see, you know, we can't be separatists totally from liberalism and modernism, what they're doing to the Bible. And so we want to be educated, and we'll try to get into the liberal camps by education. And what happened? They were converted to liberalism. Second thing is, in this matter, another foundation that needs to go down is ecumenical unity. Ecumenical unity. Let's all work together. Well, you know, doctrine divides. No, unity. Truth unites. Truth unites. You see, there are social issues that all religions can participate in. You know, let's go down to the abortion clinic. And I hate murder. Abortion is murder. Okay, let's go down to the abortion clinic and let's hold hands with the Roman Catholics and the Muslims and the, you know, it's a social cause. But see, dear ones, we can't do that. Euthanasia in Canada is going strong too. They're going to put the elderly to death. It's this law is coming quickly. But see, that's a cause for a lot of people. Poverty. Oh, I hear so much about, you know, we have to help
poor people. And we have to do, you know, we have to get the government. We have to give out this and this. And, you know, and that's an issue. That's a foundation, I believe, that we that's good, but it's not the priority. There's women's rights, feminism, things like that. All that. These are foundations that we waste a lot of time with. Next one is environmentalism. Oh, the green God. Well, I get in trouble with those guys. I mean, I have no time. I have no time of day for them. Okay? But you see, think of some Christians that are very environmentally friendly. They spend a lot of time. And then, of course, we could talk about politics. And I'm not against politics. You know, I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm a U.S. citizen. I vote in both countries. Talk about agony. Think of that for a minute. You know, you only get one time. I get twice. Okay? But you see, how long have we propped up politics as our savior? Only if we had another president like President Reagan. But God hasn't given us a President Reagan, and he wasn't our hope. He's given us a President Obama twice. Okay? But see, maybe by now we're disillusioned with politics. Maybe we're not. Okay? But I think the big one also, another one that the foundation needs to go down, is the economy. Economy. See, I sat down with my local MP, or House of Parliament representative. He's like a local, he would be like a state representative. And the government in Ontario, Ontario is debt-wise, she used to be one of the leading provinces in Canada. Now she is billions in debt. I mean, unbelievable. The Liberals have killed her. We have a lesbian governor or premier. First one. But you see, I talked to my MP. I says, there's this Bill 13, and Bill 13 was the bully bill, okay? But it's basically propping up and giving special rights to homosexuals. And I went to my MP and I said, you know, why aren't you fighting this? You know, the progressive service, why aren't you doing something about that? He says, this is what he said. We're not going to commit political suicide. If you want to make all the noise, Pastor, you go ahead. I hope you do. But we're not going to say anything about that. But see, I'm concerned about jobs. He said, I'm concerned about wages. That's what he said. That's a false foundation that needs to go down. Sometimes I think family ties can be a false foundation. We put family first. And I know I'm going to get in trouble with this one. You know, patriotism.
Right.
You see, I have we used to have an associate pastor, and they formed their little local church. Pastor Tim Peachman, you probably met him. He's been here before. But, you know, when I go into the U.S., I'm a U.S. citizen. When I go back into Canada, I'm a Canadian citizen. Because it's better. It's more profitable. If I go into the U.S., I'm a U.S. citizen. Because there's more rights. There's more privileges. But see, long ago, I realized that I'm a citizen of heaven. See, the foundation that the Constitution has to be above the Bible and everything is for the Constitution is a foundation that has to go. Let's go on here. Let's go to the church for a minute. What are some of the foundations that are being destroyed in the church? Well, first of all, I think the preeminence of Christ, the Lord Jesus. You see, when I preach, when I teach, when I get on the streets, open air preaching, all this stuff, there's only one person that can occupy this podium. There's only one that's preeminent. Mary's not there. Muhammad's not there. And we have to bend over backwards that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one. You see, the pluralism, you know, all roads go to heaven, all God, you know, a little bit of good in every religion. Well, that's not true. See, you get in trouble. Listen, brethren, you'll get in trouble putting Jesus first. Standing up for Jesus. You will. And so the first foundation that's being destroyed, I believe, is the Lord Jesus' preeminence. preeminence. The second thing is, I believe the Word of God is being destroyed right before our very eyes. You know, there's one of the main chief sins of the West is that it's called modern versions. I'm not a King James only person. Never will be, never was, never like that. But you know, I've studied it enough to realize that, and I've read enough, that there are these arrogant men that call themselves Christians who stand in judgment of the Word of God and say, that verse, subjectively, internal evidence is, I believe, is not in the Bible. That is such arrogance. Arrogance. And I agonized before the Lord. I said, Lord, this is the sin that is the greatest sin of our day, I believe, is because we're corrupting the Word of God. You know, Zondervan, Thomas Nielsen, Baker Book, you know, the millions they make on Bibles? Millions. Millions. You gotta have a new Bible every year. But I think that's one of the foundations that is being destroyed. But also, when we think about modern translations, we can think about doctrine, theology. Most Christians don't know the Bible. Most Christians don't know how to defend the Bible. They don't know what they believe and why they believe it. You know, we have a month every year. It's gone to 6 weeks now. 6 weeks of Russellites come to Cornwall and have a conference. 6 weeks. Three English and three French. I don't know French, but I know they know English. And what do? We go out and down in the park and we preach. Nobody else ever does that. Could you imagine? 6 weeks of Jehovah. I mean, everywhere. The weekend is, you see, but see, how many of us could defend the truth or the deity of Christ or justification by faith alone? Oh, that's for the pastor. That's for you. Amen. Because who's going to be knocking at the door? It's the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's the Mormons, it's the Muslims, and the Christians don't know their Bible. The cults go after disgruntled, ignorant Christians. That's statistically, they do. And so the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of doctrine and theology, the next foundation that is being destroyed is family. Manhood, womanhood, marriage, family. I mean, we're miles ahead of you. But you know what? If you want to apply for a U.S. passport, it's no longer husband and wife on the applicant. It's spouse one, spouse two. We have gone so far. I mean, it's, you know, these bills in Ontario, especially Ontario, the sodomites have taken over the public schools. I cry, I weep for my neighbors, my children. We homeschool, praise the Lord. We have a little bit of space left. The Catholic Church has succumbed to the homosexuals and the liberals and all this stuff like that. But manhood, womanhood, guess what? We're going to have unisex bathrooms. And if you're like, you know, women that are men that are women, whatever, how you transgendered, stuff like, you know, they are now allowed to go into women's bathrooms. Men can go into women's bathrooms. Marriage, well, we've been 7 years with same sex. Marriage has been redefined. Family. All that. But see, I'm telling you this because, you see, your Supreme Court just came out with, first of all, that the federal government has to give benefits to same-sex couples. That was the Defending Marriage Act, whatever it was. And also, it kicked the teeth of California. It kicked them in the teeth. Okay, but not, see, the state's rights were trampled on. See, you know what? Your attorney general in Pennsylvania will not enforce the law. You should write to your congressman, you should write to your representative, and give her a bus ticket out of town before it's too late. That's what Jerry Brown did there in California. He was the attorney general. He would not enforce the law. Pennsylvania, same thing. Your attorney general will not enforce. She is allowing the people that do the marriages to give out same-sex marriage license in Pennsylvania. And so these are foundations that are being destroyed right before us. We could go on to separation, worldliness, carnality, humanistic gospel, carnal Baal worship. You know, give us drama, plays, movies, music, anything but preaching the word. All that is going. Legalism, ritualism. How about evangelism? What about foundation that is gone? Do you carry tracts? Do you carry a little Bible? Do you pass out tracts? When's the last time you know, we do open air preaching. It's great. Dangerous. Fun. Oh boy, people hate you. Hate the Word of God. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I got arrested last year for preaching in the park. Public park. This year I was there. And I remember a few faces. This one little girl that said, "What are you passing out?" And I gave her this tract. And it's basically a scripture tract. You see, are you helping your church? Are you militant? You see, you go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. They're not going to come to the church unless, what? Full-pledged awakening occurs. That's when everybody comes to the church, right? Until then, we go out. But see, these are the foundations that are being destroyed. And I think the last one I want to mention here before I go to the solution, because I have this one tract that I hand out. It's called Bad News and Good News. The bad news tells us that we're sinners and goes down through, we're guilty, condemned. And then the good news is the Lord has given us the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He'll save us from our sins. So I've mentioned the bad news, but one more bad news here. You see, we have lost the whole concept of biblical and historical revival in the churches. After the Azusa Street Pentecostal returning of the gifts, we really, you know, most churches don't, they have no concept of biblical or historical revival. They have no concept, you know, what would you, you know, if, brother, you go back to your church, what if there was no hope of revival? Where, you know, why would I be here? What hope would I have? If there wasn't a possibility that God could break in any time, personally, corporately, on a local church, because that's His program. If I didn't have that hope. But most churches don't even know anything. I remember talking to a good pastor in upstate New York, Burnout District. It's called the Burnout District. Charles Finney was up that way. Okay? Revivalism. And this dear brother, I gave him a little book on the Welsh Revival. And he read it. He said, "I've never read anything like that." He's a seminary student. I mean, he's a graduate. He's a good brother. I mean, he's a good brother. Loves the Lord. Loves the Word of God. You know, shoots straight. You know, he's a good brother. But he never, never, ever, until that day, read anything about revival. You see, some of the old books I collect in pastoral theology and stuff like that, the old ones, they always have a section on revival. Not anymore. Not anymore. Let's go quickly to the solution. Because I want to give the solution. See, verse 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Notice here, it's the righteous that are going to be able to do something about it. The righteous. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation. It's the righteous. It's you and I. Now, we do have to pray that God would rain down righteousness, that He would begin to convert people one by one, right? It's not going to be the world. It's not going to be the politicians. It's not going to be the government. It's not going to be Christendom overall. It says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's up to us. Of course, with God's help, we're going to see that. But notice, look what David did. Verse 1 says, in the Lord put I my trust. I just went through a series. It's been a while. I preached through 1 and 2 Samuel, the life of David. And the brethren couldn't, you know, David is like put on a pedestal. But see, he's a man after God's own heart. But David failed as a father. David failed as a king. You know, just like you and I. But see, it says, here in the midst of maybe facing Absalom, maybe facing King Saul, he says, I put my trust in the Lord. That's basic. And that's where we have to start, okay? I put my trust in the Lord. Notice in verse 1, again, he says, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Is that escapism? Denial? Well, you know, brother, it's really bad, you know. We're in perilous times. We're in the end times, last days, you know. The Lord could come today. Amen. I would love that. But how many, you know, talk about discouragement? No, don't go out, pass out tracts. Don't be preaching. Don't be praying. No. Escape. Get out of the way. You know, run for the hills. David said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay here where God put me. He said, I will face the issue. I won't hide. Look at verse 4. We're talking about the solutions, okay? And we're going to find out that if the foundations are being destroyed, first of all, we're going to find out that we're going to have to rebuild them. But the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to trust the Lord. We're going to have to face the issues. We can't be in denial, okay? Dear ones, it's inevitable, you see? The world, one world government, the one world, socialism is coming to the U.S. Amen. They're going to take your guns away. They're going to take everything away from you. Just like they have done us. Okay? But, you know, the Apostle Paul was in a socialist, communist kind of situation, right? Back in his day. Caesar is Lord, right? The gospel prospered. Maybe we don't realize that we're holding on to those foundations that need to go. God is going to shake everything. 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 And so we have to first trust the Lord. We can't be in denial. And then verse 4 is a good verse. Look what it says there. It says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. See, the God of free will is a wimp. The God of free will is a wimp. I despise that social gospel. I despise the Armenian gospel that says God is waiting for you to make a decision. God is waiting for you to give Him permission to save you. That God is a trash. That's not what David says. Where is God? Well, He's in heaven, of course. He's on His throne. God's will, God's purpose, His eternal decrees, God's schedule of things, right on schedule. You know what this morning? Not an atom is out of place in God's program. Not an atom. So David says, I see the foundations, they're all around me. They're falling and putting trust in the king and everything's falling. And David says, I'm going to look up. I'm going to see God is on His throne. God is on His throne. But you know how a good Calvinist does, right? We'll sit back and say, okay, yeah, that's right. Everything's going to happen like it's going to happen. We're more fatalist. We're more Islamic than anything else. No. We're not going to sit back. Why are we going under? All you dispensationalist buffs. Every dispensation ends in what? Apostasy. Every dispensation, all seven of them. See, God has a plan. God is going to be honored. He's going to be glorified. He's going to be shown that He's good and just and righteous and perfect. And what else? He's going to show man, you and I, that we are sinners and we're at fault. We're at fault. And so, but you see, the church has everything. It has the completed Bible. It has the finished work of Christ. It has God, Holy Spirit. It has all things given unto us, pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the end, we apostatize. The church, Laodicean church, is there. The Lord Jesus is outside the church. But you see, why are the foundations going under? Normally we say, well, it's not us. It's not me to blame. I'm not to blame. Well, you know, it's the family across the street. No, it's the church down the road. They're to blame. To him that knoweth much is required of much, right? Let me finish here as we think about the solution. The solution is, first of all, David says, I will trust the Lord. In the Lord put I my trust. Secondly, he's not going to deny the issues. Thirdly, he's going to look to God. And then he's going to come up to the plate and say, okay, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Look at verses 5 through 7. Psalm 11, 5 through 7. Look at verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. See, we're going to have to... See, the Lord's going to try us on every step, right? I was thinking about my oldest son, Josiah, is teaching adult Sunday school, and he went through the book of Judges. He's doing a survey of the Old Testament. And we were reading through that, and I think it's chapter 2 of Judges that says where Israel did not go in and conquer the land, so he left these nations there, pagan nations, to test and to prove Israel, whether Israel would obey the word of God. And so we see here, are we going to obey the word of God? Are we going to practice what we preach? Are we going to stand up? Are we going to repair the breaches? You see, what I perceive the Lord is saying to us is what Molokai said to Esther. Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Stand up to the plate. You see, in Cornwall, that's where our little city, we have our church, they say I hate Roman Catholics. They say I hate sodomites, for sure. I hate the Muslims. I hate the IMLs. That's what they say. Our church is the embarrassment of the evangelical community in Cornwall. That's what they say to me, face to face, other quote-unquote pastors. I say, I don't hate anyone. I hate the devil, for sure. But you see, I tried to tell them that I am pro-truth. I'm pro-Christ. I'm pro-Word of God. I'm pro-marriage. I'm pro-family. I'm pro-manhood, womanhood. I'm pro-separation. I'm pro-revival. I want God's blessing. They're always going to perceive it that you hate them. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you just keep saying, I love marriage. I hate divorce. I love manhood, womanhood. Hey, I have no problem with my new identity in Christ. I love it. See, the family, you see, all these foundations that, that we see crumbling. You know, the divorce rate in churches among Christians, I think it's outranking the world now. You know the number one sin of pastors, according to Dobson? And I don't care much for Dobson, okay? Psychology, all that garbage. 75 to 85% the besetting sin of pastors is pornography. Pornography. 75%. No, I don't hate them. But I do love them. And the first time we were there in the gay parade, gay picnic thing, and it wasn't much in Cornwall. I mean, poor Pastor Tim, he lives in Ottawa. Ottawa's the state country's capital. The big time. They have a whole week of festivities, quote unquote. And I remember first time we were in the park, had our signs up, and a reporter came from one of the TV stations and said, "You'd like to see the fire fall. You would like to see all these people go to hell." And I said, no, I wouldn't, because I'd be right next to them. I'd be right next to them. No. It's not hate, dear ones. They're gonna try to put it on your brain. Oh, you just hate us. You hate us. No, you love the truth. You love Christ. You love marriage. You love manhood. You love womanhood. You see, this is the foundations that we have to repair. And be militant. You know what? Don't be deceived. Okay? The homosexuals, and I'm not picking on homosexuals, okay? That's not to be deceived. They have an agenda, and they're not going to stop until they silence every Christian. You see, same sex is just one step. Now, you'll see a big flurry of divorce. You see, we had same sex. It was passed. And then the homosexuals said, okay, let's get divorced because we want equal divorce too. And then they're going into the schools, big time, stuff like that. Believe that, you know, we are a charitable organization. We don't own the building. We don't own the land. We don't own anything. The government owns it. They allow us to have it. If our charitable status gets revoked, okay, they can take everything. We don't. Well, it's not the church, but the thing is, you see, what Canada is doing, I believe they're working on it, and I keep my eyes open. Is that they're going to put it into your constitution, in the church's constitution, that you have to have gays as members, you have to have women as priests and preachers. You're going to have that, or you can't be a charitable organization. That's what they're working on right now. I just hope that when that time comes, that we can sell everything and give it to the Russian Bible Society, or we've talked about putting, you know, it's a little harder giving money or resolving everything and giving it out of Canada. It's a little hard. Trinitarian Bible Society. I just want to keep my eyes open, and when I can, I want to sell everything and put it towards Bibles. We won't have anything left. But you see, what can the righteous do? You see, I'm not discouraged. I'm not fretful. I think it's glorious times. I think, man, this is glorious times. It's a great time to be a Christian. It's a great time to have a backbone. You see, every brother, my parents, they were all divorced. And I am the only one that's ever had divorce. God knew that I would never be qualified to be a pastor. You see, the idea is that we have to stand for family. We have to stand for manhood, womanhood. We have to stand for the preeminence of Christ. We have to stand. You know, oh, you're a King James only person. No, I'm not. But I think one of the greatest sins of the church today is allowing corrupt modern versions, arrogant men standing in judgment of the Word of God. I'm not ignorant of, you know, I studied that. I know I want to be educated in that, stuff like that. And I read the books on textual criticism and other things, and they're arrogant. It's not scientific. Because they want, remember I said, the first thing that we want, that the first foundation that's false, we want to be respectable, we want to be acceptable, and so we cater to science, we cater to archaeology, we cater to... No. This is it. Well, you're stupid. No, I'm not stupid. You're ignorant. No, I'm not. See, that's what I say. I'm not discouraged. I'm not fretful. God is on the throne. Justice, righteousness, truth, godliness will prevail. Even if it is, you know, maybe until the Lord comes back. But you see, I still have that hope that at any moment, God's people, God will just break in, bring revival, refreshment. You see, the church in Canada, their little brethren, when I first got there, they had no concept of revival. That's why they have the bars on the windows. They were ready to go down in a sense. You know, separation. We've got to be separated. We're separated. And they weren't really separated. They didn't practice what they preached. But see, when through Doc and others, Pastor David, others, you know, Dr. Finnegan has been up to our church. But not only that, but it's been myself. And you see, they're infected. They're infected with the thought that God could bring revival. Brother George is one of my older deacons, and he's a blessing. He says, "Tom, you really believe that God can do this?" I said, "I believe it." "Do you believe it, George? Do you believe it, brother?" That's our only hope. Our only hope. I'll be done here. Look at verse 7 for a minute, and I'll be done. We'll go back to Psalm 11. Text verse, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A lot of foundations that need to be destroyed really need to be destroyed. And there's a lot of foundations that need to be rebuilt at the price of blood. You know, it'd be, you know, I have three Islamic, Cornwall is a little 46,000 people. It's like Youngstown. I grew up in Youngstown. I was born in Youngstown, Ohio. So I have a heart for Dr. Finnegan, and he's there in Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown and Cornwall is pretty close together. I mean, similar. Dominant Roman Catholic, Union, liberal. We have three Islamic schools in Cornwall. And I remember the first time when I began to write against Islam. And Kathy says, "You got your health insurance or life insurance up to date?" Because yeah. I am a dead man. I'm going to give them opportunity unless God saves them. See, what can we do? We can stand in the gap. Look at verse 7. Well, verse 6, God's on his throne. Verse 6, you know, judgment is going to come. Justice is going to come. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, brimstone. You know, payday's coming. Don't fret. Don't be discouraged. Do right. In the end, God is going to make it all fair and work it out for his glory and his honor and for his people. But verse 7, what you and I are called to do. For the righteous God loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. We're to stand in the gap. We're to stand on the wall. We're standing in the breach. Make up the hedge. Look at verse 7, the first part. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. If we're going to rebuild these foundations, we're going to have to love what God loves, and we're going to have to hate what God hates. You know, there's no more halting between two opinions, brethren. Okay? I believe that, you know, America, what is it called? Canistan? I believe God is raising up Islam to punish the U.S. and Canada and the Western world. I wouldn't be surprised before we get done that we're going to be an Islamic state. How long? Just maybe temporary. I don't know. God brought the Syrians, the Babylonians, to chasten Israel. And so it's time to, you know, well, I'm a constitutionalist. That's good. But your constitution is already dead. They've already taken your rights away. But you're fiddling around with the foundations that need to go. You're wasting time. But notice it says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. See, a lot of people in Cornwall would really like to see me dead. They like to see me gone, or, you know, hoping there someday they'll come and get me and take me away. But see, what we are, we're the conscience of that community. The conscience of that community. See, they hate truth. They hate righteousness. They hate godliness. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ for sure. They hate the Word of God. But see, that doesn't stop me. That doesn't stop me. Because when, you know, Pastor Tim and I, you know, he's working in Ottawa. You see, we go out on the streets and we preach and we pass out tracts and things. And you know what? We're looking for the sheep. We're looking for the sheep. And there's sheep out there. And we're going to stand for truth. Because the homosexuals are going to come knocking at your door. They're not going to let you stand. The liberals and the socialism is coming. But you see, it says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. What will the righteous do? It's up to us, by God's grace. It's up to us to stand. It's up by rebuild the foundations. Be militant for your Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, look what it says in verse 7, not a part. His countenance doth behold the upright. I love that. I mean, that speaks volumes. He says, his countenance uphold the upright. I want to see my Lord smiling. I want to be obedient. I want to be a faithful servant unto the end. Yeah, I have family. I sometimes I come out of my study at night and I'm sitting there. Is there someone going to be there? Say, Allah is great, and just plop my head off. It could happen in the U.S. You know, we don't have to wait for the Boston bombings and this other stuff. But you see, I'd be in glory. And hopefully I'd be a faithful steward, a faithful witness, loving not my life unto the death. I'm hoping that God will save these Muslims. I pray for them earnestly. I know them by name. But see, it says, his countenance doth behold the upright. That's all I want. That's all I want. Which foundations are you trying to build this morning? Are they some of the ones we mentioned that are worthless, waste of time? I mean, that's hard for a U.S. citizen, right? It's hard, you know, I understand what you're talking about. Patriotism and U.S. Constitution and, you know. But I'm a citizen of heaven first. And this book is my guide. And the Lord Jesus is in my allegiance, my loyalty to Him first. And then as you see the foundations in your church, in your home, being whittled away, step by step, don't sit back and do nothing. Yeah, pray. Yeah, preach. Yeah, write that letter to the congressman. Write the letter. Do whatever you... But be the one to say, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to stand in the breach. Lord Jesus, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference. It's pretty serious, brethren.
Amen.
Pretty serious. But I think what David said for us is that we trust in the Lord. We're not in denial. Verse 4, it says, the Lord is in His holy temple. He's on the throne. If we become a socialist country and the Constitution is thrown into the trash, they take all our guns away. They take my church building away. They take Maranatha grounds away. We're still the church. We're still God's people. We still have a mission. We still have souls to reach. We still have a God to glorify. And all the while, what is he doing? He's looking down on you and saying, hey, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my son. That's my daughter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Stir us up, Lord. Encourage us. Lord, it's never as black as we think, because you're on the throne. And help us to stand and come up to the plate and to be a sacrifice, as it were, that others might believe and come to the Lord Jesus, but also that the church would be edified and built up. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.